If you didn't get one of these, this is our Deuteronomy schedule. We started Deuteronomy this Sunday if you weren't here because of weather or whatever. But if you want to read ahead in Deuteronomy, I highly recommend that. There are more. I think they're in the back. If you want, this is yours, Chris. It's right here for you, okay? That eagerness, I love that. So there's that. We're going to, for our midweeks, we're going to spend the next 2 months of midweek lessons looking at just two verses in the Bible. 2 months, two verses. Not even the whole two verses. It's crazy. But we're going to, they're important verses because our theme for the whole year is, as I said earlier, is add. And so we're going to talk about where that came from for the first couple of months. We're going to talk about adding a lot as a church. And for introductory purposes, there are two ways that we want to see God add to our church. Hey, John, here's an answered prayer walking in. Yay. There he is. hopefully. We want him to add growth in the number of disciples in the church, which is something that God's been doing for the last few years in an amazing way, and we should be so in awe and so grateful for that. And we also want God to add to our characters to help us grow as individuals, to grow spiritually, to grow in maturity, and all of those things. And so that's kind of like Bible math. We want to add in those two different ways. But there's a catch to this Bible math. If we focus on growing the church, like the numerical, like growing, we actually won't grow. It won't happen if we focus on that part of it. Maybe we'll add some members, but it'll be shoddy. And the Bible talks about adding on to the building without the right materials, without the right foundation, and it says that fire is going to come and test the work. So we have to build in the right way, and focusing on building like that is not the right way to go. And so the other kind of adding is actually the thing that we need to focus on. We need to focus on our characters, on our growth, on our spiritual maturity, and God will add to the church. We have a great goal as a church, a great dream to be a church by the year 2030 that is 1% of the population of Lansing. Imagine that, 1% of Lansing, that's about 5,000 people, 5,000 disciples who know how to make other disciples. That sounds awesome. We're going for it. That's our dream, but it's not going to happen by, like, oh, we got to do this, we got to grow, we got to get to the 1%. That would be crazy, right? So we're gonna focus on the second kind of adding, the kind of adding that is adding to our hearts and to our characters, and see what God does with that. We're going to really focus on this at our midweeks the next couple of months, and at our home groups and our ministry meetings. And so you'll get lots of chances to grow, which is an awesome thing. I think Peter maybe understood this Bible math better than anybody in the Bible. He saw the gospel reach the entire world. He saw the evangelization of the whole world in his lifetime. And yet when we look at the letters at the end of his life, it's not all about like go, go, go. It's about grow, grow, grow. And we're going to look in 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we find our two verses that we're going to focus on for the next 2 months. Is anybody like unbearably cold? You guys all right? You can like snuggle in with each other. Second Peter 1, and we'll read the context of our two verses before we get into our two verses alone here. It says, starting in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. That's the next 10 midweeks, is all those things right there, okay? For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, if we break this down, verses 3 through 4 tell us the good news that we get to participate with God in this life. We get to participate in the divine nature. We're not waiting for heaven to get to do that, although certainly that'll be happening in heaven. But here, now, we get to do that. We get to participate with God. How do we do that? Well, he says in verse 5, as we read, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. And so these are the things we want to add to our characters. We're going to focus on each of those things for our midweek lessons, and we're going to focus on adding all year long. And part of it is just a veiled attempt to reteach me math, basic math, that I never learned in school, and I'm having a hard time helping Genevieve with her homework. Please. Adding is very difficult. And it says that if you do this, for if in verse 8 you possess these qualities in increasing measure, in an adding kind of way, you won't be ineffective. You'll be effective. You'll be productive as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's an awesome promise. We'll have impact. We'll experience the other kind of adding as a church and as individuals. And so before we dive into this passage, into the thing that we're going to talk about, the one thing we're going to talk about tonight, I do want to say one more thing about adding to the church. I want to put this dream before you. We'll talk about it more. But the crazy thought is, what if the church doubled this year? The church isn't going to double this year, okay? That'd probably be the worst thing that could happen, because we would be, why would you do all these people? It'd be crazy, okay? But what if it did? That'd be crazy. Maybe you think, well, that's just intimidating. That's like high pressure. I don't like that. And I agree, I don't like that either. But I do want to ask you the same exact question in a different way. Can you help one person become a disciple of Jesus this year? And what if everybody did that? The church would double. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Okay. It's a dream. It's not a goal. But I would like to invite you to have that dream for your life, that this year you could follow God, listen to the Spirit, make the sacrifice that it takes to find one of the thousands of lost souls that are wandering in Lansing right now and help them find their Savior, that you could have that dream. I want you to pray about that, to think about that kind of adding. And we're going to talk about that kind of adding a little bit. We're going to talk about our adventures. But mostly we're going to talk about adding right here, because it's disciples who are growing in Christ and adding to their characters and learning about the Bible and fired up about Jesus make disciples. That's just what happens. And so, I don't know. Let's see. Can you make one disciple? Can I make one disciple? Let's see what happens. We'll see if God can add. The printer went insane. It printed everywhere. And I'm like, my iPad doesn't work. My printer doesn't work. It's really crazy. I think God's telling me, memorize your sermons. That's not going to happen. increase my faith. Add to my faith. So that's our dream. As we look at this today, we're going to look at the foundation of the whole thing. Peter says in 1:5, He doesn't say add faith. He says add to your faith. And so faith is the starting point. It's the given. it is assumed that those who've received this awesome salvation that he talked about in verses 3 and 4, that those people have faith. If you don't have faith, then you're not even at square one. There's not, we can't build anything. There's no foundation. You gotta have faith. There's a song about that, right? And when I talk about faith, I'm not talking about intellectual belief that God exists. Here, this might blow your mind. I want to explain this more, and we're going to talk about this more on Sunday as well. You can actually be struggling in your intellectual faith. You can be battling in your mind, does God really exist, and still be faithful? Did you know that? That might sound crazy, but it's absolutely true, because faith is trust. Or I think the very best word for faith is loyalty. And so you could be struggling in like reading things and be like, man, is the Bible real? Is this stuff true? And wrestling with those things. But at the same time saying, I'm going to obey. I'm going to trust while I'm working this stuff out. And you're being totally faithful in that struggle as you deal with those doubts. You're being a faithful person. And that's kind of the opposite of what we think a lot of times. Like, oh, as long as I believe in my head, doesn't matter what I do, faith is that upside down. As long as you do, you can doubt, you can struggle. In fact, God encourages those kinds of questions. The doors are closed. There's a challenge with the doors being closed. I think it'll be okay. Maybe we could leave one open because it gets so hot back there, and that's our only heat source tonight. It's crazy. That's okay, Clay. Thank you. We're going to have roasted babies. We don't want that. That's good. So, just to give you that idea, and we're going to talk about this kind of faith this Sunday. It's going to be cool to see how 1 Peter and Deuteronomy run together. I don't think even a book has ever been written that put those two together, but we're going to try to do that with our Wednesdays and our Sundays here. But before we start talking about adding to our characters, adding goodness and all the things on the list that Peter gives us that we're to add, we need to make an honest assessment of where our faith is at right now. And we got to get it out of our heads that when I say faith, I'm not saying your intellectual belief that God exists. Not that. But where is your trust? Where is your loyalty to your God? Do you have something to add to? Do you have faith? We're going to talk about goodness next Wednesday, but there can be no goodness where there is little or no faith. We have to have the foundation. We have to have faith. I want you to do something. This is going to be fun. If you have a pen or an iPad or whatever you have, I would like you to draw a train. I would like it to have an engine, a coal car, which if Mitchell was here, we could have the real name for that, or maybe you guys know. What is it? A tender. And a caboose. Is that the real name for a caboose? Okay. So, the engine, the tender that has the coal, and the caboose. I want the three. If you're wondering, what does that look like? And I want you to write these words in it. It looks like that, okay? I've been practicing drawing. No, I obviously took that off the web. I want you to write those words in there too. Okay, the engine says fact, the coal car, we'll just call it coal car, says faith, the caboose says feeling. Because what I want to talk about tonight are the three F's that order our lives. And we talk about priorities. Maybe it's the new year. You've been thinking about your priorities, and we want to prioritize our time and our schedule. These three F's are like, they're above all of the other priorities we set. Like, I want to spend more time with my family. I want to, do better with working out or whatever your priorities are. This is actually the umbrella over it all. If you have these priorities down and in the right order, your life is in order, then you can do all the other things. But these three F's, maybe you didn't even know that three F's were dictating your life. Like, last time I talked about three F's was eighth grade. But no, not those kinds of F's. All right. Thank you. Okay. The three F's are in the image of a train because these are the things that run our lives. These are the things that move us. And so the first thing is the engine is fact. I want you to remember this, okay? The engine is fact. You might have thought that faith is the most important thing in your life because the Bible talks about faith all the time. I think the word faith is in the Bible like 283 times. That sounds pretty important, right? But it is untrue. Faith is not the most important thing in our lives. You're like, what is this heretical teaching? Faith is nothing if we have nothing to put our faith in. It's only when we put our faith in the right thing that we see God work. You have to have that. So if you say, well, yeah, there's this raging river, and I'm on one side, and on the other cliff, there's a cliff over there. But I have faith that if I step out over this ravine, I'm going to make it across. But there's no bridge. What is your faith going to do anything? Like, you could be completely convinced you're going to fall into the river and die. That's what's going to happen. Faith has to be based on fact. And our faith, a lot of times, is not based on fact. A lot of times, our faith is based on how we feel. Let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter 1, verse 16, Peter says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. Excuse me, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." And so Peter's saying, hey, we didn't make up this belief and this faith. Like, if you read the Gospels, he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter's saying, I was there. I saw Jesus turn white as snow. I heard the voice of God when I offered foolishly to build tents for Moses and Elijah, who also happened to be there. And God said, "This is my Son. Listen to him." I heard that. That's what Peter's saying. This isn't something that was made up. It's based on fact. Jesus is a fact. The gospel is a fact. That's why we are here. That's why we have a church. A fact is something that is true no matter what. 2 + 2 = no matter what, right? No matter how bad you are at math. If you write 2 + 2 = 3 because you can't add, because you have the skills that I have in math, it doesn't matter. You're wrong. The fact is right. If you're in China, 2 + 2 = 4. You say it different. I don't know what the word for 4 is. Jason, you know Japanese? What's 4? Yon. In Japan, it's that. But it's still 2 + 2 = 4, no matter where you go. People think that they can make up facts by believing in something. Well, if you believe it enough, it becomes true. All the movies of Santa Claus are like that. Like, if you believe, the sleigh will rise, you know, like Elf, right? No, that's your belief doesn't change a fact. A fact is a fact. It doesn't make something true. You may feel the opposite, like something is untrue, but that doesn't change it either. It doesn't matter if it's a fact. It's a fact. The gospel is the truth. It's a fact that Jesus was God's plan and that he saved us and he expects us to live for him. This is a fact whether you or anyone else believes it or not. If everybody stops believing in God, it doesn't matter. Jesus is still the truth because it's a fact. The fact is what runs the show. It's what we put our faith in. And we'll talk about that more, okay? Faith, now let's move to the coal car, to the tender. Faith unleashes the facts of God. Not the facts of life, but the facts of God. A fact in and of itself is dead. If you have a coal-powered locomotive engine and there's no coal, it's just going to sit there. It's not going to go anywhere. It has no power. And this is where faith comes in. Faith, here's more math. Faith plus facts are very powerful. But faith by itself is also dead. James says that, right? In James 2, verse 14. Let's look in James 2. I was texting with John McDonald today. He said he couldn't come because is he sick? And I told him, no, it's all about trains. Because he loves trains and logistics so much. This lesson was for him. In James 2, verse 14, it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' I believe that you'll be fine." It's like saying that. "But does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. You've got the locomotive, I've got the coal car.' So show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there's one God, good, even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." And so you see all these examples of faith in this passage, and it's all the same. They all do something. It's all based on their action, whether it's Abraham or Rahab. What they do is they take the fact of God's word. They take the promise of God's word, and they apply faith to the fact. They act on it. They don't just say, "I believe it, I believe it, I believe it." They do what it says. And that's when the train gets moving. That's when the impact starts happening. You know the momentum of a train and the difference that it can make. That's what we can do when we take the facts of the Bible and truly believe them by living them out. That's what it means to have a faithful life. Faith is acting on God's word. Does that make sense? Yes. Romans 10 tells us that faith comes from hearing the word. That makes sense, right? Because if we really want to have faith in God, we got to know the facts. We have to hear the word. Faith takes these spiritual truths and it makes them real in our lives. Here's the crazy thing. If we don't live out the Bible, it's still true. It's just not true for us. We don't get to see the truth of God. We don't get to see him working in our lives. Actually, there's a lot of things we do get to see that the Bible says in our lives when we don't live by the word of God, but it's the bad stuff that we don't want to see. When we do it, the Bible becomes true in our lives personally. That's how we participate in the divine nature, as it said earlier in 2 Peter. And so, thinking like this, how important is it for our faith for us to know the facts of the Bible? And not like the Bible trivia facts, but the promises, the commands. How important is it for us to know those things? You know, it's really the difference between a mature Christian and a baby Christian. We talk about baby Christians a lot as a church because half of our church is full of baby Christians, and Leslie's up here like, "I'm a baby Christian, what am I doing up here?" Which is awesome sharing on Sunday. But it's not how long you've been a Christian that makes you mature or a baby. It's how well do you know the facts? How much have you been digging into the Word of God? And then do you apply it to your life? Do you live it out? Are you faithful? This is what faith means. If you want to grow in your faith, what do you think you need to do? You got to learn the facts. And then when you get tested, you do this. You rely on those facts as a foundation for your life. Read the Bible, live it out. Your faith will grow. The Bible is so important because if you don't know the facts and you don't live out the facts, guess what you're relying on? Feelings. The caboose is running the show. Feelings is the third and last thought for us tonight. Feelings equal a runaway train and a runaway life. If you rely on your feelings, letting the caboose lead the way, you got problems. And the truth is, and if you look around, this is how most people run their lives. It's based on feelings. This is what Star Wars taught us, right? To rely on your feelings, to trust your feelings. It's totally backwards. That's why it's the caboose. It's a backwards way of living. The thing about a caboose, why it's a good thing, and I hope you remember this train illustration. We're actually going to do a little drill if we have time. We will. Is the caboose is interchangeable. It doesn't really have a function. It one day you got a red caboose, another day you got a green caboose, even though all cabooses are supposed to be red, but they come in all colors and sizes, and the caboose is always changing, just like our emotions, right? One day we're happy, next day we're sad. A lot of days we can't even explain why we feel what we feel, but it's sunny, so I'm happy, it's raining, and I'm sad. You're down about your job, you're down, you know, you're whatever it is. You're angry. There's all kinds of cabooses, all kinds of emotions that we have in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with having feelings. In fact, God is an emotional God. He created us in his image. The Bible talks about God being angry. It talks about him being in love. It talks about him being sad. He has those same emotions, but he's not letting the emotions run the show, or guess who wouldn't be here anymore? Anything. It'd all be gone. I'm so glad he doesn't. He's got the engine going. Our emotions come and go. The truth of God's word, the facts never change. What do you want to rely on? The thing that's here today, gone tomorrow, or the thing that will never change? The enduring word of God. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." If you remember our definition of faith, I mean, this is it. The one who hears the word and puts it into practice. That's the one who is faithful. That's what that is. The one who isn't faithful, the one who hears the word but doesn't actually do it, that's a bad foundation. And God says there'll be a great crash. And God, like, controls thunder, and he, you know, if God's saying it's going to be a great crash, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in the vicinity of that crash. We're going to have feelings. Even if you look at this, like, the storms come on the good foundation, the storms come on the bad foundation. We, you know, we're going to have these feelings, but the feelings do not affect the facts. How you feel doesn't change the truth of God's word. It's so awesome that God gave us an unchanging, everlasting word. We need that, or else everyone would just be going off their feelings. And so what do we do about our feelings? Should we all be like Christian robots? Like, I am a robot. I love Jesus. I'm never too happy. I'm never too sad. Is that, you know? I'm not supposed to be angry, but I feel really angry. I'm going to blow up in a month or two. Is that what we should do? No, that's not what we should do. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're not looking for Christian robots. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. This is Paul speaking. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Does that sound like a Christian robot? Paul's saying, we were sad that we were still alive. That's how sad he was. Sounds like Jesus on Gethsemane. Was Jesus a Christian robot? No. Jesus wept. Jesus had sorrow to the point of death, he says, in Gethsemane. Jesus mourns over Jerusalem. The emotions come. But Paul says this next. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And so he could have went with that feeling in the caboose, but instead he took the fact of, if I rely on God, it's going to be okay. And the train started moving. He didn't become overcome by his sorrow and his sadness. And our feelings are opportunities for us to rely on the facts, to apply our faith, instead of relying on ourselves and failing. That's the fourth F that you can put when you're falling off the caboose. You go from feeling to failing. Falling and failing. The more we know about God and his word, the more we put it into practice, the more mature we'll be, the more we'll be able to control our feelings. This doesn't make us robots. We still have these feelings that come and go, these cabooses that change, but we learn how to handle them like Jesus would handle them. We learn how to let those things take us and make us closer to God. Have you ever thought about this? Some of us really struggle with sadness, especially this time of year. Why? Why would that be a thing that some people struggle with, some people not as much? Maybe it's so that you'll draw near to God. Maybe it's God's way of saying, hey, it's snowy. There's lots of clouds in the sky. You need me. Here I am. Let's hang out more in the winter. Why do you feel happy? Maybe it's because God wants you to praise him and thank him. God causes these emotions. Why do we feel angry sometimes? So that we can pray and he can fix things. He says it's mine to avenge. It says this in James 5. It says, is anybody sad? He should pray. Is anybody happy? He should thank God. The emotions bring us to our God. The caboose should be along for the ride. A spiritual person is in control, is applying faith to the facts and driving the train in the direction of God. The caboose is not steering the train. It's just along for the ride. We don't want the crazy people running the asylum, right? I think this is a good lesson to start our year off with. We need to get our priorities straight and live by faith in God's word. I want you to take some time this week and really pray through this train so that your life won't be a train wreck. Or consider the order of your life. Get help if you need it. Get on a reading plan. It's so important to read the Bible. It's not like this task that or this thing that we've produced as a church to make you feel guilty. It's so you can add to your life so that you can grow, so you can respond without the emotional response, but being faithful. Use your small groups and your discipleship groups and your conversations to talk about living by faith. Conversations in our groups should sound like this. And when we disciple one another, when we ask for advice, it would be so awesome. If I overheard this, I would be so happy. I would praise God. I'd be so happy. Someone said, I feel like blank, but the Bible says blank. So I'm going to blank. That's the train. Come on, ride the train and ride it, okay? You can use the train, okay? We have 5 minutes. This is what I want you to do. We're going to do the train right now. I want you to think about something that you've been struggling with in your life. Maybe you've been feeling angry about something or sad about something, or maybe you're happy about something, or you've been feeling jealous, or you've been struggling with lust or greed, or whatever the thing is that you haven't that you're struggling with in your life. What do you feel? Okay, and then I want you, and you can do it with your spouse or the person next to you. If it's really super personal, find somebody that you can talk to about it. I want you to, we're going to end with this. This will be our thing. And when you're done, we're free to fellowship. I'll say a prayer and then we'll do this drill. I want you to use the train. I want you to, this is how I've been feeling, or this is what I've been struggling with. And then you and your partner, your spouse, or the person you pick, the lucky person that you get, decide, okay, this is what the Bible says, so this is what I'm going to do. So pick like a test case. And then you can start to think like this. The more you know the Bible, you just start to think like this. It's an awesome thing. But this is all to order your life so it can have the impact, so it can be effective and productive. A life with living faith is something that goodness can be added to. Wouldn't you like more goodness in your life? Can't have it without the foundation of faith. And we got 1 week to get it, because next week we're talking about goodness, all right? We got to do this thing. There's a time limit here. I'm gonna pray, and then we'll have our focused fellowship for a few minutes, and then we can grab our kids and have a great safe trip home. Lord, we just thank you so much for being a God who has given us this otherworldly book that we could have never created ourselves, that is full of facts and promises and answers that never change, that never have to change, no matter how much we change or our society changes. It's always the same. It's a rock. You're our rock, God, and your word has been given to us that we could rely on it. I pray for this year that we could be a faithful people, a people who act on the word of God, who believe it and live it out. In all the situations in our lives, help us to do that, Lord. Help us to grow and mature, even overcoming our emotions and learning how to respond how you would respond or how Jesus would respond. And even now as we do this drill, I pray that you'd give us great insight and that this lesson could help us to be effective and productive and add to our characters and add to our church. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.